Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's show. It's the day before Christmas, so I thought I would read you a story from The Seven Stories of Christmas Love by Leo Buscaglia. I chose that story because it does speak about healthy body, healthy mind, and healthy finances in one way or another. I am sure that by now you know that I always talk about the trilogy, which is body, mind, and finances, to be at its best or at their best, to be complete for excellent health. So let me tell you a little about Leo Buscaglia. I have a short bio for him. In his warm, humorous way, Dr. Buscaglia shares seven holiday episodes from his life, including his hilarious adventure in producing a school Christmas pageant with second graders, as well as the poignant insights that came from spending Christmas in a hospital recovering from heart surgery. He tells how each event reinforces his belief in the value of caring and love. Leo also reminds us that Christmas can last more than one day, that the spirit and magic of the season can thrive all the time. Peace, joy, and goodwill are not seasonal. They are life-sustaining, life-enhancing, hopeful words, words that should be spoken, sung, and practiced all the months of the year. Seven Stories of Christmas Love is Leo's Christmas gift to his friends and admirers. Leo Buscaglia is an internationally loved teacher, writer, and lecturer. His many books and television programs dealing with the dynamics of human love have been read and seen by millions. Dr. Buscaglia believes that happiness and love are just a choice away. His life's work as an educator has been directed toward encouraging us to make that choice. So it's pretty amazing. And you know what? The first sentence of that Christmas story that I said, the Christmas that almost wasn't, the first sentence is actually, we have finally mastered the meaning of Christmas when Christmas becomes a way of life. Did you hear that? We have finally mastered the meaning of Christmas when Christmas becomes a way of life. All right. Our Christmas celebration or celebrations this year are a bit different than normally because things have happened with COVID and whatnot. Yet, there is so much to be grateful for, to treasure, to appreciate. If you haven't thought of it already, listen carefully in the story and it might awaken some of the thoughts that serve you better than the ones that you might be having right now. I'm Denise Thompson, certified transformational health and wellness coach, Blog Talk Radio host, best-selling author, and former nurse, fitness trainer, and educator. This story that I'm going to read really resonates with me, and I hope you'll enjoy it very much. So I gave you the first sentence already, and I'm going to repeat it before I get into the story. We have finally mastered the meaning of Christmas when Christmas becomes a way of life. There is no way I could suspect that I drove to the hospital on that damp December morning that it would be a one-way trip. Repeating ritualistically what I had done in previous years, I parked in the limited outpatient parking area and proceeded to the admissions office where I filled out the necessary forms for my annual routine physical exam. It was Christmas time, 1982. In the center of the waiting room was a magnificent Christmas tree. It was a welcome and glowing touch. Carols were being piped in via music to keep us mindful of this special time of year and to remind us that it's the season to be jolly, that we better be good, that we should be decorating the halls with boughs of holly and generally preparing for the holy night to come. I love the feel of holidays. They have always been eagerly anticipated family events of the Buscalias. When Papa was dying, he called my elder sister to his bedside and pleaded with her to take on the role of keeping the family together. He was convinced, as was Mama before him, that the best way to do this was with frequent joint celebrations over food. Rituals are good for the mind and the heart, he'd say. They give us something to look forward to count on. There can never be enough times for celebration. My sister took this mandate so to heart that she and her husband built a huge family room, which they were certain would last for generations of family gatherings. Holiday get-togethers for the family would be assured. In a few years, it became apparent that only if we were to hire the grand ballroom of the local hotel could we house the entire family in one place at one time. Families, especially Italian families, have a way of growing and getting out of hand. We were compelled to divide into two groups of revelers in two separate locations. So it was on this Christmas, separate family celebrations, but together in love. The pasta was readied. The antipasto was planned, sliced, and marinated. The fowls were purchased and ready for stuffing. The Christmas breads and cookies were baked and the chestnuts boiled. Days ahead, both my sister's kitchens were feasts for the senses. Foods in tempting arrays of color, shape, texture, and size. The heavenly aromas of fresh rosemary, oregano, sage, onions, basil, and garlic. This was to be a banquet befitting the palates that Mama and Papa had spent years educating. That I was not to take part of these wonders never entered my mind. At the insistence of my doctor, I had saved Christmas break from university classes to take my annual physical examination. There, I had a massive heart attack. Fortunately for me, it happened in the hospital. I fell into the arms of a cardiologist just a few feet away from the cardiac ward. It occurred quickly, without warning, and was totally incapacitating. Within hours, it became apparent that if I were going to live, I would have to submit to emergency surgery, a quintuple bypass. That's a five-time bypass. It is often said that Italians are among the most outwardly emotional people in the world. In fact, their longevity is often attributed to this tendency to express what is feeling being felt inwardly, then, once expressed, let go. A case in point was my family's response to my illness. When the severity of my condition became known, the entire clan was plunged into hysteria and despair. No way was there to be a Christmas celebration with me in the hospital. Never. Tears, prayers, rosaries, and mourning, yes, but merrymaking under such conditions was not to be even remotely considered. It was generally agreed that all holiday plans would be immediately canceled. There would be no Buscaglia Christmas. It took most of my remaining energy to elicit a meager promise that the holiday would continue as planned without me. After all, I reasoned, everything was ready. The food, and they would have to eat. The meeting place, and they would want to be near family at such a time. The gifts already purchased and wrapped under the tree, and I would not want to be the cause of the children missing out on what they had been so long anticipating. I could not be certain that the family was entirely convinced, but they tearfully left my hospital room with a promise of sorts. They would get together for my sake, but they would not be happy about it. Finally, alone in the silence of my room, I became acutely aware of the presence of Christmas. All the nurses were wearing bunches of holly and mistletoe. Decorated trees were given off the scent of fresh pine. Carols blended softly with the routine hospital noises. Silent night, holy night. The monitors above my head, constantly recording my heart activity, continued to suggest the urgency of my condition and the awesome realization that this might well be my last Christmas. It's a strange and inexplicable characteristic of human beings that we never seem to appreciate things until there is a possibility of having them taken from us. Small things that don't always rate our attention take on renewed meaning. We begin to see more clearly how we sometimes lose ourselves in a mundane and unimportant. We wonder how we found so many petty things to grumble about, or why we failed to stop long enough to experience the beauty of the season and the wonder of giving and celebrating. I wondered then how we become desensitized to the special Christmas in the air, or crispness in the air, the beauty and the holiday ornaments, the aroma of special foods, the excitement, the hugs, the laughter, and the kisses. It was very sobering to realize that by morning, all these things might be taken from me, lost forever. Thankfully, in spite of some minor complications, the operation was a success. The whole situation took on a sense of miracle. A surgeon whom I had met only briefly had, with a knowing touch, taken my heart into his hand, attached new arteries to it, and placed it carefully back in place, a rebirth of sorts. The wonder of it all, I awoke in intensive care. It was like moving through a deep fog, aware yet lost. I was a maze of tubes, bottles, pumps, and respirators. But even in my dazed state, I was aware that Christmas was everywhere. It brought a sense of relief. Wherever I was, it was Christmas there, too. Within days, I was moved into a private room in the cardiac ward. A constant parade of loved ones made their way to my bedside. Each person was bearing gifts, things they were certain I couldn't live without. Baked lasagna, homemade sausage, salami, mortadella, pureed chestnut, cut flowers, potted plants, and my favorite holiday treat, frittura di sapo, which is breaded cornmeal with lemon peel fried in butter. By week's end, my room looked and smelled like nothing so much as the gala opening of an Italian deli. It wasn't like being at home, of course. I missed the children and the noise, but it was certainly the next best thing. When visitors leave and darkness falls in a hospital, an eerie ambiance comes over the place. It was during one of these episodes or periods, while walking silently and cautiously around the ward, that I became aware of my neighbors, seeing them alone in semi-darkness. I had the sudden inspiration to share my good fortune. To the elderly woman in the room immediately next to mine, I gave my blooming poinsettia and a healthy serving of my sister's best egg custard. with the man down the hall who had, I'd been told, lost the will to live, I shared my largest array of cut flowers. I also delivered a portion of frittura d'usa, which I was certain would add a new spark and perhaps an eagerness to try some more. The succulent wonder of that ambrosia is of itself reason enough to live. In a few hours, we all became fast friends, bound together by the same mystery of the shared moment. We decided to organize a charter member of the Open Heart Club class of 82. We formed a welcome committee for the new patients who were steadily joining our ranks. We gave solace, encouragement, and love to them, their families, and their friends. We cried together. We laughed a lot. We had good reason for shared joy. Choice was still ours, and in the hospital or out, Christmas could still be what we wanted to make it. We had all been given the most precious gift of all, time for life. I shall never forget that Christmas, which almost wasn't. Soon after that, I returned home and shared two family Christmases, one in January and one in March. I am more aware now than ever of my mortality. At some time, still unknown, I might not be as fortunate as I was in 1982, but it is useless to dwell on that. Rather, I will accept the challenge it suggests to make the rest of my life a Christmas celebration. I still have years ahead of me for giving, sharing, caring, accepting, loving. I want to live this allotted time in a holiday spirit. What better way to live? For I feel instinctively that it is only this which can give life meaning and offers our only touch with immortality. What do you think? What did you hear in this story? I just heard everything I needed to know. Find the positive behind everything. If you lost a loved one and they were suffering, be grateful, be thankful, rejoice in the fact that they no longer suffer, but that they get to rest in peace. Keep the good memories alive in your heart and go on from there. The biggest message that I heard was Christmas becomes a way of life, daily life, not just once a day or one day a year. So let's take that to heart and make the best out of this Christmas. Let's make it a merry one. Let's do good where we can. If we have a neighbor who's frail or elderly and doesn't have family stopping by or anything, check in with them. Send them a card or put a card at the door and ring the doorbell and go away so you have the distancing and you don't get them sick. Even if you're not sick, you might still be a carrier if you were in touch with somebody who was sick. So let's be cautious. Let's be careful. Yet, let's be joyful and let's be giving. That's the most important thing. So my question to you is, do you have any goals or New Year's resolutions? Any reasons why you want to get healthier, healthier than you are? You heard what happened to Leo Buscaglia. A quintuple bypass. That's five. Normally you hear of a bypass or a double bypass or even a triple. And I heard of a quadruple, but a quintuple I had never heard before. That is huge. So what can we do to live a happier and better life from today on? Make it a happy, healthy lifestyle. So I would love to give you two free gifts. One is a free strategy call to assess your health goals. We can talk about it. I can't tell you right now. I can't promise anything that I can help or that it's for you what I'm doing, but it will open your eyes and maybe you'll find some suggestions helpful on how you can progress or move on to get better. So you have many more Christmases to look forward to. And remember this story from Leo Pruskalia in the book, Seven Stories of Christmas Love. And his name is in the transcript and the title of the book too, and the chapter that I read. So you can find it there. If you just listen to it, when you click on it, the transcript should show below, and then you can see it. And if you choose to get the book, it's on Amazon, and I have given it away already a couple of times. I always have to buy a new one. Whenever I read a story to somebody who's here at my house, they want the book, so I just give it away because it's such an amazing gift. So that's the first gift, the free strategy call to assess your health goals. And the second free gift is a health e-newsletter, actually, with healthy recipe and activity that you can do at all ages, pretty much. And for that, I will need your best email address so I can email it to you. So if you have any questions, suggestions, or wanting to be on my show, write to dythompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N, at gmail.com. Or for the two free gifts, or if you just want one or the other, write to Coach Denise at ctdigest.net. The two email links are in the transcript. And I just want to say, let's start 2021 with a healthy mindset, positive attitude, and work towards optimal to ultimate health. Today's the day to make a decision. And you let me know, and we can talk about it and see what's happening. When you make a decision now, you might be able to start right away with certain things already that I can give you over the phone, and other things that we will have to get some materials that you can actually work on, and that would be there first, latest second week in January, depending on the weather and UPS delivery. But anyway, I want to offer you that. So for right now, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy, healthy, and blessed New Year. And for the ones who don't celebrate Christmas, happy Hanukkah, or just plain happy holiday season to all. Until next week, stay happy and empowered.